Now, recent times have seen much attention given to the sexual harassment and abuse perpetrated by people in positions of power. Movements like the Me Too campaign and Time's Up have garnered great support around the globe. And here in Australia, the National Association for the Visual Arts have highlighted these injustices with an open letter released on International Women's Day titled, "Dear Person, I've been reluctant to keep engaging with, but have had to for professional reasons." To find out more about this campaign, we are this morning joined by Esther Analytis, Executive Director of the National Association for the Visual Arts. Esther, thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Now, what inspired this letter? What inspired the National Association to write it?
Oh, well, all the things you mentioned and more, the constant concerns and complaints that we get from members, our own experiences, a long, unfortunate history of experiences. As you describe, we have all sorts of structural and cultural reasons why there are all sorts of really persistent ways in which people of one gender exploit and abuse their own power at the expense of other genders. And I think there absolutely has to come a time where we assert that simply cannot continue. And with International Women's Day coming around, now they want to spend a good month looking at the work of female identifying and LGBTQIA artists, also promoting gender equity and also looking at gendered harassment. And so we wanted to do something direct and impactful, and so we put this together.
Have you seen an increase of the number of people in the visual arts industry, especially willing to come forward since movements like Me Too and Time's Up have come about?
I think there's two aspects to that question. There have certainly been more people who have been sharing experiences, and we've certainly heard more, as I should say, has every other comparable organisation. We've been hearing about a lot more cases and encouraging people to either report things within that institution or when there are serious cases to go to police to speak to assault and harassment services and to really take all that seriously. But there is still too much non-reporting or under-reporting. And this is just one of those frustrating, disappointing things about what gendered harassment does to people of the gender that is being oppressed by that kind of behaviour, and that is that there is this reluctance to report, there is this frustration and shame that comes from having been treated that way despite your professional expertise and your achievements. And we say in the letter, despite everything that I'd achieved, I was made to feel in that moment like just an object of someone else's sexual gratification. It is so, so prevalent.
It is absolutely so prevalent. But I think things like this and when you do, I guess, bring attention and create a community and let people know that they're not alone and this is something that is unfortunately so widespread, it will empower people to feel that they can do something about it in their own lives. For me, the most, I guess, poignant part of the letter was actually the way it was signed off. When you signed it off, the concerned colleague who started to have this conversation with you yesterday, but you wouldn't take me seriously, so I wrote this letter. That, to me, was just the nail in the coffin. It was it's a phenomenal letter. It's very emotional and obviously the experience that a lot of people have had.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes. And I think we can all relate to having tried to explain to someone and they'll shrug it off, it was just a joke, this is just, we work in such an intense creative industry, this is just how things are. Well, no, they're not. It's in fact that person has chosen to take advantage of their own position of power in order to behave in that way. And that's what it's ultimately about. I mean, yes, it is gendered harassment. It's when aspects of someone's gender are isolated, independently of their achievements, their work, their expertise. And there may be aspects of misogyny, homophobia, and other things underlying it. But it is ultimately an exercise of power that diminishes someone's uniqueness and expertise. And so you're absolutely right that letters like this, gestures like this, do build our confidence to call things out in the moment. And they also, this has been very heartening since, they also embolden institutions to act and make a difference. And we're now talking to a number of different institutions about some shared things that we're going to do in the areas of enforceable policy.
That's wonderful. Now, you did mention very briefly before that during March, the National Association for the Visual Arts will be championing the work of female and female identifying and the LGBTQIA community. The artists that belong to those communities, that belong to those groups, you'll be championing their work. How will we see this manifest itself? Are we going to see more exhibitions pop up? Are we going to see more visibility? What are we planning here?
Oh, we'd love to see more exhibitions pop up. We're going to be doing this largely through our communications and just, you know, kind of highlighting the work of LGBTQIA and female and female identifying artists across Australia. And that's one of the things that we can do as the peak bodies for the visual and media arts, craft and design sectors. We have thousands of members across Australia in regions, in suburbs, in cities. And so we will use those means at our disposal to really highlight what is happening, people who are showing work right now and other work that is happening.
It is so encouraging to see peak bodies like your own getting on board. It is so encouraging to see that there are big organisations out there fighting for the rights of female identifying the queer community as well. Esther, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, thanks for the conversation. So important.